the Storm.
How cool in his high neck is. How he laughed, and how deep was the peace along that shore. Did you remember Manuel a few days ago, when it was just 3 years since that afternoon? Where were you on that anniversary, Manuel? Where are you now?
Today we bring you another chapter of Against the Storm, written by Sandra Michael and presented by the makers of Ivory Soap. You know, it's a well-known fact that mothers are the most unselfish people in the world. Sure, when you have a family to look after and a house to keep running smoothly, well, you don't have much time to think about yourself, do you? And you know, I think that very nice quality of unselfishness is one reason that some of you don't use Ivory Soap for your dishes. Yep, you wouldn't think of depriving your husband or your children of the best there was to be had. But when it comes to protecting your own hands, well, what happens then? You say to yourself, well, it'd be nice to have soft, smooth hands, but I'm afraid Ivory Soap's a luxury I shouldn't indulge in. Well, ladies, I'm here to tell you that you can use Ivory Soap every day in the dishpan and still be as unselfish as you please. Let's not even think about Ivory from the luxury angle. Let's not even mention what a joy it is to be able to help your hands stay soft and smooth in spite of dishwashing. Nope, let's consider this thing from a practical point of view. Ivory Soap is economical for dishwashing. Yes, even though it's as pure a soap as money can buy, it's extremely thrifty. It costs less than a penny a day for dishwashing. And remember that, won't you? Less than a penny a day. In fact, you can do dishes with Ivory for less than with those granulated soaps you use on wash day. Now, we've made tests with real families to prove this. Not just a little thing I've dreamed up. So if you want to be the kind of smart, economical housewife that's a real help to her family, just work a regular order of large-size Ivory into your budget. Of course, I'm warning you, this pure soap is going to help your hands stay soft and smooth in spite of daily dishwashing. But I wouldn't let little luxury like that interfere with using Ivory regularly in your dishpan. It's been a very hot July day in New York City. Night has brought no relief. Heat of day when the sun is high is one thing to endure. Heat of darkness is another, still less easy to bear. It comes from nowhere and from everywhere. The streets breathe out an oily, dusty, evil heat. From every airless building, waves of warmth move out into the airless streets. Millions of people on doorsteps and fire escapes, in the parks, on the buses, and at home in their stifling bedrooms, wait for morning and a breath of air from some country dawn. Kathy Reimer, at her grandfather's little apartment in 11th Street, has been trying for an hour to fall asleep. Into the small room, all kinds of harsh sounds come from the sleepless street below. The linens of her bed seem scorching hot against her skin. She lies absolutely still. And in her thoughts, she writes one of the many letters to Manuel that can never be sent, because Manuel is lost somewhere in Europe's storm. But Kathy is as careful to shield his feelings as if the letter were really being written and were really to be posted in the morning.
Manuel, my dear, I am in New York just now visiting Grandpa, as I told you I would be doing soon. And he is very well, thank you. Quite busy with his translating and very grateful for such good work to do. Yes. Someone is passing by in the street below, singing at the top of his lungs. Poor thing, he's been trying to forget the weather, I suppose. No. No, there's been out on a late celebration, Mother. If a little wind, only a little wind would blow. It is real summer weather in America now, at least here. Warm and perfect for outings in the woods down at Hawthorne. I wonder if you remember, Manuel, that just the other day, it was exactly 3 years since the lovely, lovely day we all spent at Port Elisa at the seashore. It was the day you insisted on buying me the beautiful amber beads, though they were much too big and extravagant. But how proud I was to wear them. And what an incredible day that was altogether. I remember as we walked back toward the pavilion to meet Grandpapa and Turban, I was so happy I could have danced along. Manuel, look at the sky. Look at the blue, blue water. Look at the sand so white and smooth.
And look at you. The very spirit of the day. I'm afraid you may disappear into the waves like a mermaid from the fairy story.
I should like to. Oh, no, not forever. Just for a moment. To see what it would be like under the lovely cool water.
Here. Here, hold on to my hand.
You can't. I have to count to see how many beads there are on my beautiful new necklace.
Well, there should be 1,000. And each one a reminder of me. So you will never be able to forget me if we should ever be separated.
Oh, I should lose remembrance of you instantly. Manuel, why do you say such things?
I was only jesting. Oh, come. Do you want to race to the pavilion?
Of course. Run. Two. Three. Run. Holding kindly, how we laughed. And how deep was the peace along that shore. Did you remember, Manuel? A few days ago, when it was just 3 years since that afternoon. Where were you on that anniversary, Manuel? Where are you now?
Just a few days ago, there was a country where not so long ago, the people were quick to laugh. Where men and women loved to sing in their old homes or out under the sun at their daily tasks. But in this country, there isn't much of gaiety or singing anymore. The people move about on the streets in a kind of graveyard quiet. They seem stupefied and unbelieving before the thing that has happened to them. Down the street of one of these towns, a small squad of men, shouldering shovels like rifles, are marching two by two. A man in uniform walks at the head of the little column, and another follows behind it. The squad is now approaching the ruins of a building. Most of it lies in one great jumbled mass, but a single wall, 3 stories high, still stands, poised above the ruins.
One, halt! At the next command, you will fall out and get to work clearing up this debris, which, as usual, must be stacked in neat piles. Any articles of value found shall be brought instantly to me. Failure to comply will be followed by usual punishment. Squad, fall out! And what's the matter with you, 37?
That wall, sir. I don't believe it's safe.
It stood there like that for a month.
I know, sir. But when we move the bricks pile against it, I'm afraid
that... Ah, nonsense. Get back to work, 37.
Our lives may not be important to you or to us. But remember to finish this job today. Dead men will not stack bricks for you.
Hold your tongue, 37! He's too smart for his own good, that Manuel. Why should the wall come down now? I'll stay out here. I can keep a better eye on those wretches from here. Oh, Greg! The wall! Run! Run for your life!
A huge gray plume of dust rose over the ruins. It hung there for an instant, and then it grew slowly smaller as the dust particles sifted to earth. A moment later, the air was clear again. A film of dust covered the debris, and here and there, something stirred under that thin gray covering. The wall was gone.
Hey, you! Get back!
American Press Sergeant Chuck Nolan of the news.
How could I know it was going to fall? I was ordered here. I am not authorized to wreck walls, only to clear debris, do you understand?
Who are they, campmen?
You cannot ask me these questions. I do not know. I do not know anything. Oh, where? Where is that ambulance?
How many did it catch?
3. Oh, I don't know, I tell you.
How many escaped?
Stop asking me these questions. There were 8 men in my squad. Oh, where is that ambulance? 37! 37!
Who's 37?
My trusty. That smart aleck, Manuel Sandoval. 37! Manuel!
They found another body there. Is that your Manuel? Say, what'd you say his name was? Manuel Sandoval?
Yes, yes. Don't move him! Wait for the ambulance!
That evening, Chuck Nolan wrote a letter to his friend Reed Wilson in New York.
Dear Reed, just in case you've forgotten and become callous about it, let me remind you that you're mighty lucky to be one big ocean removed from the mess and the misery over here. I'd give my salary for the next 6 months for a quiet hour on good old Times Square tonight. Now, that's not what I'm really writing to tell you, however. A while back, you wrote and asked me to keep an eye peeled for a fellow named Manuel Sandoval. I finally got some news for you. I'm sorry to say that it's not good news.
Chuck Nolan's letter was flown across the Atlantic yesterday, across the same sea that had been so blue, so cool that perfect day of a peaceful summer 3 years ago. In a small, close room on 11th Street in New York City, Cathay falls asleep to the gentle sounds of the surf, 3 years and 3,000 miles away. Friends, I know that many of you have a sentimental feeling about Ivory soap, especially if you've had babies to bring up. It means a lot, doesn't it, to know that you can count on this pure white soap to help baby skin stay smooth and comfortable. And we like to think that Ivory soap can make a real contribution to your happiness, too. I mean by helping your hands stay smooth and soft in spite of daily dishwashing. Yep, that's what happens when you use pure, gentle Ivory in your dishpan every day. But remember, for the best results, use Ivory regularly. Don't go switching back and forth to strong soaps and risk making your hands rough and scratchy. Why, think what would happen if you used a strong soap on baby skin sometimes. So be kind to your hands whenever you wash dishes. Use Ivory soap and only Ivory. Get a supply of those generous, large-sized cakes today, won't you?
That's not what I'm really writing to tell you, however. A while back, you asked me to keep my eye peeled for a fellow named Manuel. I finally got news for you.
Chuck Nolan's letter nears its destination. And before Reed Wilson receives it, Kathy Reimer meets two people who would have meant nothing to her except for something Siri Allen told her the other day. That's tomorrow in Against the Storm. This is Irwin Darlington speaking for Ralph Edwards, who's on vacation, and saying goodbye for the makers of Ivory Soap, 99 and 44, 100% pure. It floats.